Blog Talk Radio. Awakening to Miracles. I'm your host, Sherry Lane. Thank you for tuning in today. The topic today is one that we've talked about before on this show, before the holidays, and I just felt like there was a need to perhaps revisit it. And part of the reason for that is I really discovered a very interesting article and information that on this subject that I think is worth sharing. But the topic for today is angel healing for addictions and destructive patterns. And the show before the holidays was really intense. There were some readings that were really good. I even had one that lingered with me that I had hoped to reconnect with the person and offer her a free, very personal, private reading for her and her, I think it was fiance, because I just felt like there was more to come through for them, but I didn't hear back from them. So, hopefully just the showtime itself helped. In that particular reading, it was very interesting too, because during the call, and when I did her reading for her, I asked about addiction, if she's calling about that topic, and she wasn't. But I kept feeling like there was some addiction to, like kind of the normal ones that we think of as addictions, alcohol or drug use. And she didn't think so, that there was an addiction problem. And that's so true for how these things work. It's very hard to recognize, that word denial is so pronounced in addictions. And I'll go so far as to say probably most of us have it or have had it in some form. Again, the obvious ones in our society, drinking, drug use, illegal drug use, gambling, those things come up as, oh, that's addiction, so I'm not addicted if I don't have those things. But there are so many more things, and I think maybe the best way to determine if something is an addiction versus just a passion or a habit or is whether or not it is taking you away from living or if it is causing something destructive in your life. And so the article that I since found, I wasn't really looking for it, I guess it found me after that show, was on Huffington Post. The author of the article is Johan Hari. And it's called "The Likely Cause of Addiction Has Been Discovered, and It Is Not What You Think." Now, I'm not going to read you the whole article, but I would encourage you to go look for that. But I will tell you a little bit of a synopsis about what his article was about. He addresses how we have treated this war on drugs, and we've talked about addiction, and there have been, you know, a couple of schools of thought. One is just, you know, that people just need more discipline and they're no count and they, you know, need a kick in the butt and need to get their life, you know, get things together. And then the other is that it's a disease and chemically related, and that's how we should address it. So his study, or what the study he talks about, sorry, I'm not real good when I'm trying to flip through pages and read and find. His study is amazing because he discusses how a lot of why we started treating addiction as purely chemical and chemically based was because some studies with rats, where if you put rats in a cage and or in single cages or however you do it, and you provide a water bottle, and water is good and nourishing, and you also provide another similar bottle that looks just like the water bottle, but it's laced with, I think they use heroin or cocaine, that the rat would develop a habit of going to the heroin and getting the fix, not going to the water. And so this caused the conclusion to be drawn that it was a chemical addiction and that the rat would get entrapped in that. Well, some later studies, a professor did some studies where they provided some alternatives to just the choice between water and drug-laced water. And what was found was really profound, and it was that if you put those addicted rats into an environment where there were wheels and toys and activities and other rats, and they were in this environment that was community, and they were getting attention and having fun, and that suddenly they didn't go for the heroin water, they went for the regular water. So I'm compacting this information very tightly, but it's a study worth reading. Again, the link I had was Huffington Post, Johan Hari, H-A-R-I, and the title is "The Likely Cause of Addiction Has Been Discovered, and It Is Not What You Think." The conclusion from this, what he brings it down to, is that it's the same for humans if we're unfulfilled, and that can come in many, many ways if you really stop and think about it, that we have this need for something outside of us and we get confused into thinking that it's fulfilling us, but what it really is doing, what we're doing with that, is attempting to fulfill a void, emptiness in our lives somehow. And I think those voids can come from the very way that we live in this society. I think it comes from, we get on these treadmills that are about work and achievement. Well, achievement is a good thing, right? Well, but does it take away the soul connection? And does it take away that balance? Are we not feeding our souls and igniting our spirit, because we're really just caught in the traps of the treadmills, the not fun treadmills, the work to achieve, to get security, to get, those things are based in fear. And of course, in Miracles tells us that fear is ego. It's what we follow because of the emptiness, but what it takes to heal it is a return to love. So his study showed so much about love and acceptance and having fulfillment and having joy. Returning to joy will heal us. And I know in my path, when I had what I call my big awakening moment, there was so much joy that every trouble went away, every ailment went away. And we all have this available, but we've sometimes subscribed too heavily to the harder way, the way that tells us, no, if you have this disease, you have to do this. Or if you're going to get ahead in life, you have to do this. And you have to spend money on this and invest this way and this way, and you have to spend your time and you have to get this certain degree and then this other degree. And it's a checklist. We aren't having joy enough. So we have to find those ways to feel fulfilled, and love is the most direct way. That connection to God, it comes from being willing to take the steps to unravel some of the thinking that's twisted and distorted in God's eyes, because God is about love. God's not about fear. But think about what in religion we've been taught, that God is about fear and not doing enough and not doing the right things and making the right choices. And the way we live our lives is very much in that manner, that if we don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, we won't have anything, we won't make enough money, we won't do. And whether we realize it or not, we're living so much of our lives in fear. And everything about news and social media, so much of it is so much about passing on the fear. Fear of everything. Fear. You eat this, it's going to kill you. You breathe this, you do this, you do. And we forget that the energy of love and tuning into that energy more in our lives will heal those things. It'll transform it. And that's what Jesus taught. Jesus was able to, like an alchemist, transform cells, change things through energy and through love, and not looking down on those people that society would say they're beneath us, they have a problem, so they're beneath us, they're not as good as me, look at how wretched they are. So we always have that choice, and we always have that path out. And so this topic today about addiction, I'm going to go into some of the ways that we don't really see as addictions, but they can be. Our call-in number is 347-633-9823. And if you haven't listened to this show before, I devote part of it to just a thought for the day or a topic for the day. Like today's is about addiction and healing, and using angels to heal. On the previous show of the same topic, we're revisiting it, and some of the calls were specifically about addiction. Some were not really, but then they were. They ended up that way. So the call-in today is for anyone. You don't have to have an addiction. You don't have to, but you can. What I do when people call in is I try to give them a snapshot of their best steps forward in their spiritual journey right now. And it comes to me in sort of like charades. It comes in little symbolism, something that probably makes no sense. It can be something, you know, just a simple object that I see. And then somehow it always seems to relate to the question that the person is calling in about, or to something in their spiritual journey at that time. I always tell people I'm not a fortune teller or any of that kind of thing. What my gift is to connect people with their best steps now on their spiritual journey. And sometimes it's just about awareness of something that's getting in your way. Sometimes it's about letting go of a fear for moving forward in that journey. Sometimes it's about changes you can make. And sometimes it's just about seeing your light and seeing where your gifts are. So those symbols, the reason I see them in symbols, I think, is because I think it takes more energy for angels and spirit to communicate in our language, in words, to tell us what to do. So symbolism goes a very long way in bringing that message. And I think about how Jesus talked in parables. That was just symbolism. But symbolism can tell us so much more than just the words sometimes. So that's how I approach the readings. That's how it comes to me. I do encourage you to call in again, 347-633-9823. Now, if you have not listened to this show before, I always do it freestyle. I have a very basic topic, and then I just try to let the words and the feelings come through me. And usually a few minutes before the show, I allow that to start happening. As far as things that maybe to bring up on the show or to touch on. And it's often very random. I may pick up a book that I feel there's something in and open it up and share that. So today what I did before the show was I picked up A Course in Miracles, my A Course in Miracles text. And if you followed me, you know that A Course in Miracles is the central part of what I teach, and it's not really the only thing, but I apply the ideas of A Course in Miracles, or try to, in my journey and what I share. And I have a Facebook page. If you're active on Facebook, look it up. It's Seeing Miracles Every Day, A Course in Miracles. And on that page, I share the ideas of A Course in Miracles and other things that are like that kind of thought. It's not all purely from A Course in Miracles, but it's other positive thought from people that inspire me or thoughts that I have. And the idea is that if we hold on to these kinds of thoughts on a daily basis, then it helps us stay on that path. Now, I came to A Course in Miracles kind of a backward way in some ways. I had been, I guess, what you'd call a spiritual seeker for a while. I grew up in Christianity. Following Christ is still huge to me, following the example of Jesus. Yet, I don't think that anyone has to do it specifically in a very religious way or formally go say, oh, now I'm a Christian. It's how you behave that determines whether or not you're a follower of Christ. That's how I believe. So I was a spiritual seeker. Like, you know, I had been in church my whole life, and, you know, at times maybe not as much, and then back in church. And, you know, church fulfilled something for me. Part of what it fulfilled was just that's what you're supposed to do. So it made me feel good in that sense, made me feel better or less guilty if I was in church than if I wasn't. So that's not really always the best way to approach God. Well, probably it's never the best way to approach God. But I did seek other things. And they would seek me, other ideas, you know, whether it was Neil Donald Walsh and A Conversation with God, which I came to that, and then I started reading it, and at first it really annoyed me. How can he say, you know, there's nothing wrong and right? But the more I read, I knew there was something to it, and that, you know, you couldn't just take it literally. You had to dig in deeper. So that was something early on, and discovered Wayne Dyer. And another one that was huge for me was Dr. Brian Weiss with Many Lives, Many Masters. And I just started opening my own mind to think ideas about God and spirituality. And, you know, that was for several years. Just a gradual opening my mind. And I think that's great to go about it that way. But then I came to a point where I don't even really know what happened. I guess it was just my time to really awaken. And my sons had gone off to school. So, you know, they were grown and I was home a lot by myself. I was married at the time, but my spouse traveled and a lot. And so I was able to kind of take this time to step back and really immerse myself in a different way. And but when I say things found me, they did. I mean, it was an awakening that so many things occurred in that I really couldn't explain, and they were so simultaneous and synchronistic that they really just overwhelmed me. I talk about it in my book, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, because that's what it was in my life. It was not setting myself free as much as setting God free in my life, and sort of a surrender in that sense, a surrender of what I or the world around me had decided was God, and really surrendering to let God be free to show me who he was or she was or whatever makes you comfortable. That book tells a little about my journey and the early parts of that transformation, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles. It's on Amazon if you'd like to look it up. So I had this moment where everything just came very rapidly to me, sort of a meditative state, but not in any formal kind of way, kind of a talking to God state that was active and sort of conversational. And then, whew, it just came over me. So many things about my life that were unrelated came flashing before my eyes. And so a lot of people describe this kind of thing in when they're near death, they see these things. And then if they don't die and they survive to tell about it, my experience was very much the same. So I called it my near-life experience. It was the most alive that I had ever felt and actually have ever felt, because, you know, then you have to find ways to incorporate it into this world and this life. And it's that moment of touching heaven, and you try to bring it back with you as much as you can. So that moment, to me, it showed me everything in my life, everything that was, you could look at from our world's eyes and say, oh, that was unlucky, that was a bad thing, that person did something bad to you, or, oh, that was a real mistake, why'd you do that? And all of a sudden, it all worked together perfectly. It's like this perfect tapestry. The order that things were shown to me, it made it so beautiful. And so how this brought me to A Course in Miracles, prior to that, I had the book A Course in Miracles because a lot of the people I would read, you know, authors that I would read their books, they would refer to it and the ideas of it. And so I had bought it and thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to find, you know, I'm going to go read this, and it's going to be so wonderful. And, you know, if you've ever picked it up, it's enormous, the book, and you start reading it and it makes no sense. And I remember a couple of times picking it up just thinking, you got to be kidding me. But after that moment, that awakening moment, all of a sudden I picked it up and it was merely affirming everything I knew in that moment. And when I say this moment, it was that pow moment, but it lasted, this unbelievable elation lasted for me 2.5, almost 3 weeks. It was phenomenal. And other people saw it. You know, I had people tell me that, you know, I walked into a coffee shop and they could see this light behind me, like a giant halo. And, you know, did a double take because, you know, they were sure that there was an angel walking behind me. And so it lasted with me in that really intense way for weeks. But what it also did, it showed me something so real and profound that then I could pick up A Course in Miracles, and it was like I got all that information in that moment. And now I could use this tool to try to keep me there and to remind me. And it's not the only tool. The Bible, so many things, if you open your mind and don't translate the Bible too literally, because, like I said, Jesus talked in symbolism and parables and metaphors. If you don't translate it too literally, and you also realize that men wrote it, and a lot of it can be about control at times, then the two work wonderfully together. You know, the thoughts behind A Course in Miracles is that it was Jesus speaking through this woman, through Helen. And to me, so many things just enhance and broaden in a great way my view of Jesus and my understanding. So, I've kind of gone on a tangent here. That happens when you just leave your radio show open, whatever wants to come through. So anyway, before the show started, I opened my A Course in Miracles book, just let it flop open, and it was on lesson 20. Now, how A Course in Miracles is laid out, there are 365 lessons, and you can do it from start to finish, from beginning to end, in a year. You don't have to start January 1. You can start whenever. And each day, there are lessons that seem sometimes quite silly that are unwinding our thinking, because we've had many, many, many generations of errant thinking, and so now we have to shift our thinking back to love, which is where God is. So it plopped open to lesson 20. And I realized how perfect this lesson is for talk of addiction and healing. And the lesson is, I am determined to see. Now, you can read the entire lesson. I'm not going to read that to you or discuss it too much. You can, if you have A Course in Miracles, if you have the book, you can look it up. If you don't have it, it's so widely available online now. Foundation for Inner Peace has one that you can download, a PDF. There are loads of things online that discuss it and where you can read about it if you don't have the book right now, although I would encourage you to purchase the book. I am determined to see. How perfect is that for the topic of addiction? Because we go to that denial word. Denial, that's the first step. To overcome it is acknowledgement that this is not working for me in my life. And I like to think of it not as a guilt thing, because that just furthers the pain of the person that is in the situation, because really there's some void. There's something, some perfect love that's not being met within them. And yet, when you get far off the track, it's harder and harder to see. So, I am determined to see is the perfect lesson. Because the first step is that willingness. And I'll say to you this, that you may think that you have no addiction and you play no part in addiction, but earnestly say, I am determined to see. I wish to see. Because all of us have things, whether we are either stuck in some kind of addiction ourselves or with another, where we're contributing. We think addiction is just these horrible things that we can look down on somebody else for. It's just, how can you be so weak? Look at me, I'm so strong. I don't need that. And yet, even for the best among us, if you're doing something that is consuming you in such a way that you aren't connected to that power within you and really connected to God in a way that you are glowing and showing it, then it's probably in some form an addiction. You can say, wait, I'm studying the cure for cancer and I'm just consumed and consumed and consumed because I'm going to beat that. But somewhere in that idea of needing to beat it, there is fear. Collective fear, and it's gotten off course with the real way we heal everything. So we don't need all the medication. So we don't need all the false methods that only fix things temporarily, because we're willing to get to the root, the emptiness. So say it very earnestly, I am determined to see. God, please show me what I need to see right now on my spiritual path that connects me fully with you again. Let me see that so that I can be healed and I can be the healer. And healing always comes from us first. Show me. Show me now and give me the power, the willingness to just be healed. You know, sometimes the process of healing itself becomes an addiction. So if you're revisiting, I think it's kind of funny because yesterday was Groundhog Day. If you're revisiting the same wounds over and over and over, if you're cycling back through the same pain and saying, oh, I need healing, I need healing, I need healing, I need healing, somewhere you're refusing to accept the healing that's right there. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to touch your pain sometimes. I'm not saying that. But are you staying there? Is that, are you stuck there? Stuck touching your pain so much that you can't be healed? Are you stuck touching a disease so much that you're addicted to it? It makes you who you are. Who would you be without it? All kinds of addictions that every one of us, you know. Think about it and say, I am determined to see. God, please show me what I need to see right now. What is the very best thing for me to heal right now? And I'm willing to let it go. You know, there's a statement that you can make in your journey for those obstacles that seem in your way. And I definitely recall Wayne Dyer saying this a lot. I'm not sure if he's quoting someone else, but it is, I release the need for this in my life. So if first you're determined to see, and you ask God to show you what you need to release, what's holding you back, what is it that maybe you're subtly addicted to, or maybe not subtly, maybe you already know, and you're just determined to see the way out. If you can say those things, I am determined to see, from Lesson 20 of A Course in Miracles, and then I will add to that, God, please show me what I need to see. And then add to that, I release the need for this in my life. If you mean it, the feeling will wash over you of release. Now, when you have that release, you can be sure that ego is going to try to lead you right back there. That addiction to fear, that addiction to something to fret over and be worried about. Release it. Release the need for that in your life. It's a scary thought. Who are we without our troubles? But you can release it if you want to. And there is a joy so powerful that it can heal everything. You can call it God. You can call it the universe, higher power, higher self. Somehow it's always within you to connect to that joy when you really want to. So what I would say for addictions is, and for anything, any, even just your progress, whether you feel like it's, you're in a state of being addicted to anything or not, ask to be shown and you'll see. Ask what your best steps are and you'll see, if you want to. And then develop your own little mantra. You could say the same thing every day. I am determined to see. God, please show me what I need to see today. And if you're shown something that isn't serving you, I release the need for this in my life. I accept joy. It's a great great way to start any day. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break here. And how I always do this show, too, is I block out time, and then I just let the show decide its length rather than trying to fill time. So as far as our topic, I think I've probably said what is meant to be said today. If there are any callers, the number is 347-633-9823. And I invite you to call. I'll take the calls after the break. And then if we don't have any calls, I'll begin to conclude the show. Listen to this beautiful angel music while we take a break of about 5 minutes, and then come back and I'll wrap the show up or take any calls.
Call on angels,
Okay, we're back. Welcome to this show of Awakening to Miracles. The topic today is angel healing for addictions and destructive patterns. We're a little low on the call, or we just haven't had calls today, so sometimes shows work out that way, and I just let them. Sometimes there's just a message that can be sent out for whomever is there to hear, and it's less about the intuitive calls and readings, and I think that's how this show is. One of the things while we were on the break, that as this idea kind of rolls around my head and over my heart, is we're talking about some of the addictions that are less obvious, but that we need to let go of. And fear is a big one. Fear holds us back. One of my fears is sometimes I get caught in being afraid to put some of these things out there because, hey, I know to a lot of people it's weird. It's weird to have these kind of connections and gifts that people don't understand or can't really relate to. So one of my steps in I am determined to see, and please help me to see, and I release the need for this in my life, is about these just fears of sharing in this way. And what some people might think or how people might react. So I've been working on that this year, since the new year, and getting back into putting it out there in a bigger way. You know, I wrote the book, I do the radio show, have a Facebook page, and this afternoon I'm working on my website. It's been in the process of being redone for a little while now, and I'm getting with the web designer this afternoon to finish that up. So I'll have a really good central place for a lot of things like workshops and meditations and those kind of things that I do. So that's been my thing of being determined to see and to let go of the fear. So fear is the root of all the addictions. Whatever holds us back from that place of perfect love and joy and being the light in any way is fear-based and in that sense kind of an addiction. So that's something I'm trying to let go of, any fear in that area. There's another one that I think I see a lot when people are trying to go especially down a more spiritual journey and get that connection is, and I have had it myself, and it's the addiction, I'll call it that, to victimhood. And we can get in that trap of always feeling like, you know, you just kind of get beat up every time you turn around. And at times that becomes our comfort place because it's what we're used to, and it can become an easy reason or excuse for things, and so that feels more comfortable than conquering the fear. So contemplate that. Are you stuck there because life is just showing you something, or are you stuck there because that's where you're choosing to be because it's become your comfort place? You're feeding that addiction to victimhood, or why me? Why me again? Why, so again, it's that I am determined to see, instead of just looking around and saying, that person's addicted. I can see it because, you know, they're doing whatever, the obvious habits. But there are so many more that really hold us back, sometimes just as much as the more obvious ones. At least the more obvious ones are something that when we're ready, has means to fix, and maybe circles of support for fixing them. Whereas something that's more subtle, you know, might not have the means. So you have to examine your own situation and your own what are these things that are holding me back? What are the things that I keep repeating that aren't really serving me in that way of joy? Go there to heal, but don't stay stuck there, because it's a trap just as much as any chemical addiction or, you know, some of the other ones that don't get met, obviously, are food is a huge one. I mean, look at our society. Do you think that people who can't get control of their eating aren't in some way addicted? You know, it may not be a chemical, but there's something that's lacking fulfillment. The addiction to stuff is huge. Gotta have the bigger house, gotta have, why? Because you have to prove something, you have to prove how successful you are, how perfect you are by making your life look perfect. But it's about things. That's how you show that. That's an addiction. Shopping. That ties in with the need for things. You know, a real good test for something, because you can say, well, what's wrong with just enjoying? And I agree. There is joy in those things. There are a couple ways. Are you using it to identify you? Are you using outward things to identify you? Are you using it to comfort you? And to some level, all of this is okay. But is it getting in the way of a real and deeper joy? Is it getting in the way? Is it furthering your path to joy? Or daily that's growing? Or is it just leaving you feeling empty? In the case of stuff or shopping, is it enhancing your spiritual growth, your soul's growth? Or is it causing you to get on that treadmill where you have to pay your credit card bill or you have to pay the big house payment and you're having to work so much that you don't really have time for this other stuff because you got to deal with this? So is it enhancing your real joy, your deep joy? Or is it really just something outward that you think is going to bring that? It's a good litmus test. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up today's show with just telling you other ways to connect with me. My Facebook fan page is Seeing Miracles Every Day. It goes through the ideas of A Course in Miracles and other positive spiritual thought. It's over 360,000 people now, and I like to think of it as a place that we can all connect just for a few positive ideas, and I think that line of wherever two or more are gathered in His name, in love, then great things can come. So I do believe that when we gather in those places of positive thought, that something inside us is shifting, and it's shifting collectively, and that's a wonderful thing. So join in the conversation there. I always like to encourage people lately to, on your Facebook account, set up a little subpage, an interest group is what it's called, and you can Google how to do that. But you can pick some pages like that that are positive things for you to focus your attention on, and you can set up an interest group, and then you can click on it each day. Instead of your regular news feed, you can see those things or see them first, because, you know, regular news feeds get, you know, to where sometimes you don't see the things you want to see. Sometimes Facebook decides the things you're going to see. Sometimes it gets clogged because some of the posts that get jumped on or maybe the more negative things. So that way you can kind of create your own little private separate news feed that is more directed by where you want to go with your thoughts. So go to my page, Seeing Miracles Every Day on Facebook, and also choose some other things and set up your interest group. And I promise you, it will change your energy to do that. I promise you, there's no way that it cannot. Also, I have another page, my old page, that I, with no website experience, a page I designed probably 7 or 8 years ago, but it still gets the job done. People still find me that way. It is called angelstouchtherapy.com. And my book is Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles. It's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and Amazon also has a Kindle version that you can download. And my new page, which is being developed right now and should be active this week. If you go to it now on, what is today, February 3rd, you'll see nothingness. But within the next couple of days, you can go there and see lots of things I do. It's sherrylane.com. And on there, I have services, workshops, thoughts for the day, and it's going to be where I really try to gather everything in one place. It has meditations that I've created. It's going to have lots of good things. So sherrylane.com, wait a couple days and then check it out. But if you go to the Facebook page and join it and you check in there regularly, you'll see that's where I post lots of things I'm doing, and I will also post when that website goes live. So thank you for tuning in, whether you did in live or in the archives. Thank you so much. I do believe that where we gather our hearts is in love, is a powerful place, and through that we change within, and then we affect change in the world. So if you really want to change the world, do it first in your own heart and gather with those other people that are holding love in their hearts, holding love and healing in that place where we can all join and we can all radiate out love and light. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next week, or talk to you next week. Bye now.